This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Everybody, Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for hanging with us. I am actually hanging my hat, if you will, in Ireland. Think Atlantic Ocean, far west Ireland, and a couple of islands, little islands in between. But if I just got in a boat and I kept on going straight, I would smash into Manhattan. So that's what it's like to be where I am right now in Galway. And it's pretty incredible scenery, but I know I say this every single time I jump on, and that's exactly how I feel. When you go in this Atlantic Wild Way, which a lot of people are taking because think of the Cliffs of Moher, and that attracts a lot of tourists, and we're sort of going the opposite way there. And, you know, looking at what I was able to do during the day, it's amazing to think of the salmon, the sea trout, the fly fishing. I was at a place called Kylemore in Connemara County, and the valley there really brings fishermen from all over the place because of the lakes and the salmon, frankly, that are there. And it's pretty incredible, they say, during the salmon season to watch the salmon just jump and go upriver. And I'll tell you what, I would love to see that. But right at the top of the show, we're going to dive into Ireland coming up a little bit later. In fact, this hour I'm going to introduce you to who I think may be the funniest Irishman I've ever met, and that's pretty high praise because I've met a lot of them, but he is really truly a cultural gift and storyteller from Galway, and his name is Brian Nolan, and I'll be bringing my conversation between the two of us coming up a little bit later this hour, like I said. And he took me to Cladig, which was an area that was decimated by tuberculosis, and he had a friend that rebuilt or really redesigned a cottage and what it would have looked like. And I'll tell you what, I just felt like the hair on the back of my neck was standing up because it was so neat to see the development in this place called Cladig, which is an area of Galway City. But I'll let him get into that. We'll come back to that a little bit later. First, let's talk about the war on health care. And, you know, we thought we'd put this in a drawer temporarily, but it never really was in the drawer. It's been falling out. So the president wants to let's just get rid of it. Boom. Let's get rid of the ACA or AKA Obamacare, whatever you want to call it. And now there's 8 Republicans who've jumped ship. The House is saying, the House Democrats, no way. And nobody wants the hot potato, and that's what I frankly call it, because it is. It's like it burns your hands, and oh, then you can't afford to get the treatment. And this is something that, frankly, since I've been doing this show, I've been talking about. And we've looked at it from lots of different angles. When the ACA was first proposed, we went to Washington every year and we talked to a lot of people in healthcare about what it meant or what were the pitfalls, but what was good about it, what were the possibilities, could there be compromise. And here's what I think. There was the push to make something happen. So I don't want to rewrite history or go back and dredge all that up, but boom, it gets slapped on there. Oh, we're going to tinker with it. We're going to tweak this. This isn't really quite right. And it felt like, no. Once we slam-a-dam it through, then we've got no bipartisan cooperation. Nobody's really trying to figure out how we can work within the system to bust through to a better way. So nobody wants to be straddled with it, but the president is pushing it. And Republicans have to make up their mind what's going to happen there. And if you're losing your mind, which so many of us are over the healthcare situation, I mean, here's the deal. And I got a couple of emails about this, and I think they say it even better than me. And I've said this actually, though, before. You get you don't think about healthcare except for if you're an entrepreneur that pinched for paying for it, or if there's some other hardship connected to it, you're paying bills off or whatever it might be. You think about healthcare, though, when there's a major crisis and there's major panic and if there's a kid involved, or, you know, think of yourself. You're healthy, 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 and then all of a sudden, boom, you fall off a cliff. I mean, something happens that's dramatic, but something happens that changes your life, and no healthcare. I'll give you a personal story. My cousin was, I don't know if it was really a bar brawl, but somebody hauled off and hit him in the nose. He had a broken nose, and he had insurance, but he was moving from one job to another job. So he had the insurance, and now he had quit that job, given them notice, was moving on to the other job, and he wasn't covered. So imagine that. So all those years he had insurance, he didn't realize it wasn't covered, they didn't explain it, he didn't ask that question, whatever the circumstances were, I don't know the full circumstances, but he wasn't covered. So that happens, and he's got a broken nose, and he needs to get it fixed. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that could have been at least halved by what he had healthcare wise. So it is something to think about, and it's something to think about because it affects all of us. My grandmother used to say that what was the most important thing as a kid, and she would say, your health, your health, your health. And when you're young, you don't think about it. And when you're healthy, you don't think about it. But I think it's terrible that we're ranked so low in healthcare. I think it's great that doctors are trying to help people. Like my doctor just takes cash from whatever they can give. We'll give you 2 pigs and a free membership of the gym. And it's ridiculous. But I don't want to go back we can't put the genie in the bottle. I don't want to go back and talk about history. Let's move forward. But will the president move forward with this? I don't know that his plan, and I shouldn't say plan because it's not about a plan. It's about killing the Affordable Health Care Act, and I'm not so certain that that happens. 2020 is going to be interesting. It may end up being a referendum, and the Democrats and a lot of Republicans don't want this on health care again because we've already gone through that battle, and it was vicious, vicious, vicious. And nothing's out there that's been served up that's a better option. Nothing's out there that makes you say, okay, this is definitely what we should be doing. We should look at this option as a potential. And that's the problem also with the insurance thing. If something happens insurance wise, are you covered? Are you covered off? It's a good reminder of that, but it's very scary. It kind of reminds me of the Brexit deal. I was talking today to Brian, who you'll meet, and he's lived here his whole life, and he said the people are worried about it because they know that they rely on tourism. They know that American dollars help fuel their economy, and how much of that gets divvied up and what happens and checkpoints and everything else has them a little bit on edge, and I can't blame them because you're thriving, 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 and then all of a sudden your legs get taken out from under you because of Brexit. All right, hang through, everybody. Coming up next, We Can Count.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with 2 beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now, please. Don't wait. weight. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
My teeth don't cold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. The morning rain clouds.
All right, we're here with Catherine Connolly, and she is the supervisor of this amazing house that you have to come and see when you come to West Ireland. And I'm going to let her tell you all the details because I think I'm just flummoxed or whatever the word is.
Flummoxed.
I was trying to think of the Irish version of that word. Over Grace O'Malley, the pirate queen, because actually her family, through the years, this was their home. So first of all, let's talk about the significance of Westport.
The significance of Westport. Well, Westport town actually was done in two parts. So here at Westport House, the original town was out at the front of our garden. Here was the beginnings of Westport House. It was known as Cahir na Mart. And the family, the Brown family, that are direct descendants of the Pirate Queen, they actually moved the town in 1767 to where it is today, because you could do things like that back in the day. And they moved Westport town. It was one of the first planned towns in Ireland. So it was an incredibly important town. Beautifully laid out and beautifully designed by an architect called William Leeson in conjunction with Peter Brown here, the second Earl of Altamont.
Wow. Yeah. So the Pirate Queen and how many castles she had, oh, and how she reigned over the O'Malley's.
We are going back to the 1500s for Grace O'Malley, and she had 5 castles all around this area, and she was an incredible lady who kind of did things her way always, and she ended up marrying, she was born in 1530, just so that kind of puts it in context, and she died in 1603, and her life was filled with adventure and politics, piracy, travel. She just did it all, and this was probably, any O'Malley's around the world more than likely originated from here in the west of Ireland. It was known as the Territory of Uil. It was run by the clan, the O'Malley clan. She was the daughter of a chieftain, Owen O'Malley, of this area, and she ruled the roost around here. She's an incredible lady.
And so as the Pirate Queen, I mean, she really got on ships, and
she had 3 galley ships. They were very lightweight galley ships because has. There are 365 islands out in Clew Bay around us here, and her galley ships were able to manoeuvre through these islands very quickly. And she, her name was known all the way from Spain to Scotland. I mean, she was well travelled and well versed in the in her job of piracy, so she was not a bother on her, as they say. So she was incredible. She had 200 men in her crew, and people, her clans people followed her around. It would have been a time of intense poverty, famine, inter-clan rivalry, and she really was at the fore of it all, and she protected her clan and she made sure they were fed, and she had a huge following and loyalty because of that.
Wow. So then we go from all that rich history of the pirate queen and her lineage and her various children, and how do we arrive at the house?
We arrived at the house because her O'Malley's, this would have been their land, and the first Brown that came, they came from Sussex in England, and the first Brown married Grace O'Malley's great-great-granddaughter. So this is how the Browns and the O'Malley's, her name was Maud Burke at that stage, they had become she'd married into the Burkes, and the Burkes and the Browns came together, and the Colonel John and Maud Burke's grandson built the first phase of Westport House in 1730, and they made their money through the linen and flax trade here in Westport, and they're just literally at the highest time, was probably the third Earl or the first Marquess of Sligo, and they would have owned 115,000 acres around this area. The wealth was immense and the lifestyle was lavish, but they were also very good farmers. They really turned around the land here agriculturally. They built the first town of, or they built the second town of Westport, and they dipped in a lot of, created a lot of employment, and developed the harbour, the quay in the town as well. So they were a very important family for Westport and for the beginnings of Westport. Right up to the 11th Marquess, the last Marquess that lived in this house, and he passed away in 2014, and he really turned Westport into a tourist town, literally by going out chasing buses to get them to come to tour Westport, to get them to come this way, and doing the caravan and camping park that we have, the children's pirate themed park that we have, a giant pink bunny called Pinky roaming the places, and mascot. We've had concerts and circus and zoos and all kinds of things here. It's very, very innovative, and a very innovative man, it's fascinating.
You know, and you can tell you have such passion and love being here. And how long have you been involved?
I've been working here for 3 years.
3 years.
And I've loved absolutely every second of it. It's the most varied job ever. I could be talking to you on radio, and I could be making dinner. I could be giving tours, and it's been amazing. I've tried everything. I've done everything. It's been brilliant.
Well, to paint the picture for the listeners and for everybody listening, I keep telling you should fill your heart with Ireland and save your money or whatever you need to do, but put this on your bucket list and come here. You know, there's so many places you can go in Ireland, but what I've seen here is just absolutely amazing. And picture that you are in a dungeon, and there's a dungeon. And what was the dungeon about?
The dungeon. Well, this is a great draw for us here, but the house is built on the ruins of the pirate queen Grace O'Malley's castle. So her castle probably went into ruins in her own lifetime. This house was built in 1730, but they built on that ruins. So the ruins are the dungeons of her castle, and they are left over. And we have them open to the public. You can go into them and probably leave very quickly as well, because they are a bit scary and damp and all kinds of things. But they are fascinating to think that you're going down to 500 years of history underneath the house here.
And so besides the dungeons, there's some other just fascinating pieces in here. Tell us about a couple of them. One, you have a beautiful long dining room. Like you painted a picture of this enormous well, so they would have had parties.
Oh,
they would have had so many people at dinner.
This was party central here. This house was a party house. Seemingly they had epic New Year's Eve parties here, and they it was just, they did everything. You know, dinner was a huge, lavish affair. They'd have 14, 15 courses, and everyone would have been invited. It was a huge lavish, wonderful lifestyle for them, living here in the house. It would have been very as I say, I've used lavish the word a few times, but yeah, and it was ornate, and it was and that's their lifestyle was was one of wealth and
you've got in thinking about this house, you have some incredible art on the walls, and is a lot of that original?
Yes, it has, and we have John Lavery paintings, we have Opie, we have Beachy, we have just an amazing array of paintings, original paintings to the house. They're incredible.
And for you personally, it really does take on a personal measure because of living here.
I lived here, yes.
And what was it like living in this house by yourself? I mean, you had the place to yourself.
I absolutely did, and I loved every second of it. It's just an amazing home, and because I had been working here for a while, and I know the house inside out, that living here then was just an absolute pleasure. Myself and yourself are sitting here in the morning room, and on the eve of my birthday, I sat here and had myself and my other half, we had two glasses of Prosecco in this beautiful morning room, and you could do things like that when you live here, so it's great.
Your imagination runs wild.
Yeah.
And you have to tell us, I'm fascinated by ghosts, etc., and you have a good ghost story. Tell us your story.
My story, well, when I started working here in the house, that it had just been announced that the house was put on the market, was put up for sale by the original family, so it wasn't long after that when I started working here, and have to shutter all the windows at the end of the evening and close all the doors, and I had done all that. I was just about to leave, and just upstairs to the left of the stairs I heard this cough, kind of a sneezy cough, and I was, oh my god, I thought I was locking somebody into the house. I ran upstairs, absolutely nobody, so I left very quickly, and anyways, about 6 weeks later a lady came into the house and she announced that she was a medium, and I was like, oh grand, come in, you're welcome and enjoy your visit. And so she came in, but when she was leaving she just said to me, she goes, I just want to say to you that there is an elderly man up to the top left of those stairs, he's very worried about what's going to happen to the house, and she goes, I've reassured him that you're in charge and all will be well, and I have never heard anything since. So that was my kind of spooky experience, but
nothing since then, so that's the good news.
That's the good news.
As far as the square footage and the acreage, what is that here?
The acreage of the estate is 455 acres, and square, the house, it's one of those things I just kind of keep in my...
It's enormous.
It is. It's a 30 room. We have 30 rooms open to the public. There's probably 50 rooms in the house but there's three apartments in the house as well, and kitchens and all that kind of thing. So we have 30 rooms open to the public over three floors, and we have six exhibitions about the Brown family to walk around as well. So it makes for a very, very interesting visit.
For you, what's the best thing about this whole experience?
Oh, just being part and parcel of everything. Just the new developments that are happening to the house, the restoration, being part of, being able to come in every day and opening doors and walking into rooms that are just so special and are steeped in history and heritage. It's just, for me, it's my dream job, so I've landed on my feet for sure.
I love it. Well, Grace O'Malley would be proud of you, actually. So.
I hope so.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King. President Trump visited Texas and warned about the dangers of illegal immigration. During a discussion in San Antonio, he said people aren't safe.
Nobody has any idea how bad this is, and this has been going on for many years.
He said the first person he spoke to told him,
"We find dead people from Guatemala, Honduras, from El Salvador, from Mexico, all over."
He explained a border wall would save lives. The Trump administration's appealing a San Francisco judge's ruling that blocks the policy of returning asylum seekers to Mexico to await their court hearings. The administration says the ruling is unfair because it hinders efforts to secure the southern border. Stocks closed higher, the Dow adding 7 points, the S&P 500 up by 10, and the NASDAQ posted a 55-point gain. This is USA Radio News.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Genre of movies, and it's going to be interesting to have this conversation with the man who is in our virtual green room, because he's one of the writers and one of the directors of this film that's coming to TVOD on April 2nd, and it's a new horror movie called Soul to Keep, and it's got an interesting twist as far as the cast is concerned and the movie, and it's so fascinating how it just rolls through no problem. One of the film's stars is Sandra May Frank. You might recognize the name. She's a deaf actress and a star of Broadway's Spring Awakening, and she, again, is part of this cast, so that makes it very, very unique, and I saw parts of this, and it just rolls right through. So, David Allensworth, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about it. You were one of the writers, and when you're writing a horror flick, I can only imagine the things that come to mind. I have a friend who's a writer, and he writes horror novels, and the things that we talk about, wow, I get the chills. Every time I leave him, I'm like, I need somebody to take me to my house and check everything out. So how did you come up with this twist in Soul to Keep?
Well, the twist for the deaf character?
Yeah.
That's actually an interesting question. Along the way, we had a script early on with my co-writer, Eric Bram, that was more of a comedy and did not have a deaf character. But as soon as I switched it to being a more horror thriller with tension, I wanted to up stakes of the ensemble cast and The Death character came to me because, we wanted to have more horror. It was kind of a scare tactic, right? You can't hear what's coming from behind you. But also, it's something personal. Both Eric Graham's wife is mostly deaf, and one of my producers is also mostly deaf. And it just kind of hit home that we can include a deaf character, but it became a bigger deal because in an ensemble cast, you can't just throw in a deaf character. You've got to own it. You've got to have everybody who's friends with her sign with her, because if they've been friends for a long time, they would know. And that's what we convey on screen. It's really something to see.
Wow, so for the actors, did they have to learn sign language?
They did. Absolutely. We had to teach them in rehearsals and on set. We had an ASL master with us at all times. We had interpreters on the set. And we were able to get through production amazingly well because of having all of the parts that are necessary to communicate with the deaf community.
Wow. So in terms of that whole storytelling and that presentation, I mean, this took on a life of its own, so to speak, correct?
It did. I could tell you that when we were on set and then beyond, and then after showcasing it at several film festivals where we did open captioning for the hearing impaired and deaf community, it's something special. You really feel the outpour. You really feel that this community deserves to be, no pun intended, heard. And they've always felt like there's an ostracization, if that's the right word, that they've been separated out. And you could be further. They're just the same as everybody else. And in this film, you'll see how natural it feels with everybody on screen that you can have social inclusion with the deaf community. It's just as long as you just kind of learn their language.
Yeah, and so in my mind, I'm thinking, I know that there are differences, obviously, in doing this film. You're a filmmaker. In Soul to Keep, there's one big thing that is huge that will be so, I think, interesting to see what the viewers think, the people who are the moviegoers that watch it and how they process this. So that's one aspect of it. But what else about Soul to Keep is different? How does it compare to other modern day horror films?
Well, we did something that is pretty cool in that we take what's in our culture, demonology. There's a lot of religious people out there, and we all know that there's demons and there's angels and we've got princes of hell. And in this film, we introduce one such terrible demon named Beelzebub. And as our title sequence in the film shows, this particular demon has meddled in our humanity for a very long time, for thousands of years, trying to influence all of the evil things that have happened on Earth. And in this film, we're showcasing the arrival of such a demon to actually possess someone and get here and start to have a real effect. And it's something that scares us all. If something like this could appear, I wanted to put it in an environment that feels real, that you've got a bunch of friends, hey, we're out to party, and we're going to play around with some ritual in the basement, and it's just, for fun. And, of course, it starts to happen, and no one believes it. And that's the more real thing, is that this woman, her name is Grace, starts to get possessed, and no one really recognizes that, and they just think she's acting weird. And then when the proverbial, I guess I could say, poop hits the fan, it's like, that's the thing that makes this different, is that in other horror films, the reaction is, just scream and yell and, run for your lives and have some corny lines to go with it. But for here, for us, we show a real reaction that could this actually be happening? And what do you do? What do you do if one of your best friends acts crazy, and are they actually possessed? And when they do something very bad, when they start to hurt your other friends, do you need to kill them? If you can't leave the environment, what do you do? And that's an interesting dilemma for these characters. And I like to show that it's pretty interesting. One of the characters is actually not of the group. He's the boyfriend of the possessed. And he doesn't care about these other friends because he wasn't friends with them to begin with. So when it starts to happen, he's like, let's get the hell out of here. And even though we don't really like that guy for who he is, we are agreeing with him. So that's a really great thing, too, seeing this film.
Boy, listening to you talk about this movie, I have to tell you, and we're speaking with David Allensworth. He's the owner at Shady Tree Films, and he's the director of Soul to Keep. Filmmaking, you can tell that you are incredibly passionate about it. You definitely found your calling. Is the coolest aspect of doing this, is it coming up with the story and the magic and the blank canvas and, oh, there's this twist and here's what we can do? Is it doing that and being there, throwing the ideas around, putting it on paper, and then, wow, seeing it when it's finished?
It's all cool. You're dead on right. The beginning of the process and coming up with ideas, at least conceptually, is amazing to go through. When these ideas pop in your head, the deaf character, or how she survives or navigates, and how all the other characters navigate the process, is really interesting. And we have a twist in this film that completely goes into another direction that I can't quite tell you about without giving it away. But it just blows your mind as you get to that third act and you see something happen and you're like, no way! I cannot believe that's happening. And you want to see, you want to go back and see it again. That's what I love. So I love creating that process. And then when we're in production, I love it coming to life, that we actually accomplish it. But it's not over there. You've got to get into the edit, and you've got to make sure it flows nicely, and then you've got to fill those scenes with the right tone and the right pacing with not just the editing, but with the score and the sound design, and all of that has come together beautifully. We have an amazing team from producers to sound designers to composers. Just really, the process of working with other people, the collaboration, is something that is really unique to the artistic world, right? If you're just an artist who's a painter, that's amazing. Or you're an author, that's amazing too. But it's largely a solitary work, right? You have editors,
right,
but they're really just, it's all up to you. In this environment, you've got to have a great team to get it done. And so when you do that, that's just as exhilarating. And then even into distribution, when you get that distributor on board, and then you're out there and suddenly, hey, we're going to get distribution. Now everybody can see this. Everybody can see this social inclusion. Everybody can see the twists and turns that we are adding to this genre. I can't wait for people to start talking about this.
Boy, no kidding. Soul to Keep movie.com. You can go there to find out more. April 2nd. And I'm excited for you. I can't wait to see what the reaction is to this as well, and have so many people listen to our conversation. But congratulations on the unique twist and what you're doing and all of that. One last one, did you think when you were a kid, I mean, you go through, you graduate from the professional screenwriting program at UCLA, and you're a producer's council member of the Producers Guild of America. Did you ever think that this would all come together and boom, here you'd be with your own film company?
Yes.
I love it. Yes, Kate, yes. I knew it.
No, you have to, you know what? You have to drive, and you have to be persistent about your goals and be passionate and make sure that, you know, people can see your vision and, you know, and have an impact. You know, this film is a horror film, but it has an impact. Gets people to think about their angels and demons, and gets people to think about, you know, death, inclusion, or just inclusion in general. That's a great thing, isn't it?
It is a great thing. Wow, I really enjoyed speaking with you, David. I hope we meet one day in person, and thank you so much for joining us on the show.
My baby.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Show Michael Abissaha. He's written a book called Origin, Satan's Shadow in Religion. Fascinating as we dive into this. Take this journey with us. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
So in the book, I mean, you really, it's interesting, you really tackle a subject that is so difficult for some people to wrestle with and figure out, and you talk about creationism, and you talk about, you know, the beginnings of God, and you talk about so much in that clash with science, etc., with creationism. What made you decide to tackle this?
Well, looking into the world we are in, so many theories, so many ideas, and people are thinking that science is going to solve all the problems and relying on that, so that even the religious ones are inclining themselves to what science is, refusing to face reality. So I looked into the world and I saw that who is the deceiver? According to the scriptures, Satan. And so I can see Satan misleading people through others. And I felt I should address this issue from that standpoint. For the scripture teaches us that the fight is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah, and so, you know, and Michael, let me stop you there. So as we dive into this, you know, you have experience, you have credentials. Obviously, you've written five books and you've addressed this sensitive creation evolution controversy. What is so different about this book? You know, what are you interested in on the subject of origins?
I first of all looked at the issue and I wanted to address it head on. But looking into the system, I saw that actually the issue of origin, people have put their own views on what they think it should be. I believe for sure that the creator of this world, with all the things we are doing in this world, cell phone and all these complex things, whoever put it together must be wise enough to have claimed credit for creating the world. And seeing people believing in science, though science is not set up to deal with problems on origin, but because of progress in other areas, they are trying to use that influence to also influence the truth about origin. So, I decided to delve into that and to put things in the true perspective. For example, I see myself not as a creationist or evolutionist, because those people have the view that science is the mediator of the truth. But the truth, of course, can only come from whoever created the world. And that truth is there because the creator must claim credit for what he has created and not leave it out to those who he has created to find answers. So as a realist, I decided to see science as just part of, and a little part, not seriously integral part of it. It can do confirmation. That's all what science can do. So, as a realist, I want to look at the truth, not based on what theories tell us on this issue that is very crucial to everybody.
So tell me about the clergy letters, and their specifically the clergy letters and their influence in the creation evolution controversy.
Now, if you look at the origin of the clergy letter, the brain behind is an atheist, Michael Zimmerman. He's the one who's drafted clergy to sign and separate science and religion, and claiming that these are two different truths. So how can we have two different truths on the origin? There can only be one truth. A truth that will come from the Creator, true nature, and also through his own words, because he must claim credit for creating the world. And as we can see, science points to the fact that intelligence is required. And though the DNA and other things are intelligently designed just to make sure it's away from God, it is today looked at as an unintelligent design compared to the computer systems we have. So all the way I can see Satan's fingerprint trying to mislead the world by calling intelligent design as unintelligent, thereby taking God outside the picture.
In looking at this, Michael, in looking at this, should it matter to scientists whether God historically claims credit for having created the world publicly before an audience of humans?
Can you repeat that question again, please?
Yes, in listening to what we're talking about here, should it matter to scientists whether God historically claims credit for having created the world publicly before an audience of human beings?
Yeah, it should matter, because we are people who are honest. If somebody claims he has something, all what you have to do is to accept that truth and then try to find out whether that makes sense. When scientists start establish things or create things or do things on their own, they claim credit for it. And if anybody goes to interfere with that claim, they take them to court. Right? So if God has claimed credit, that historically they cannot disprove, so that they cannot now come and say, well, because God is in the picture. All what science is doing is to establish truth based on repetition and also based on reproducibility of the result. Things that are tested, no one can test origin. But science is designed to only do things, material things, not spiritual things. So science is limited in that sense. And the claims given and the theories are also not being able to be justified by any experimental means. So they should accept the truth. Since it's history, histories are written by people, and this particular history was written by people who were participants of what happened. So they have to respect that truth. And if they see intelligence involved, then they should respect that. To say that God should be outside the picture in our lives, whereas our national anthems acknowledge God, and when it comes to science, clergy are now saying, take God out of the picture, which is not right.
Mm-hmm. So I want to remind everybody the name of your book so they'll get it. We're speaking with Michael Ibisaha, and of course the book is Origin, Satan's Shadow in Religion. Michael, we just have a couple of minutes left, but what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
The truth. The truth, and the truth will set us free. Not bound by science. Science has its own limitation. Science can only somehow support what is the truth. And the DNA, the fine-tuning constants we see in the world, the discoveries, all these things were put together by intelligence. To demonstrate the Big Bang, the scientists had to build a system that was worth $9 billion. And they used intelligent people to only demonstrate a mini-bang. Then a Big Bang, if they believe there is one, must have been instituted by intelligence that is many times over this intelligence we have. People like Einstein acknowledge that this world, the intelligence behind it, is great. He was not a conventional Christian, but he accepted the truth and said that his God created the laws, his God created all these things, and I believe that's what scientists of today should be doing.
Ah, perfect place to end this with Einstein. Pick up the book, Origin, Satan's Shadow in Religion. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much for your time, and God bless.
Stones out your pocket, slide your money across the table. What you doing dancing with cement shoes? You're bound to lose, found your fuse. So I lit it, then I hit it. Then I wonder what I did and what have I committed. In a parasitic bed, witness of a perfect crime.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.